Hello and welcome to Mikey Pod. This is episode 127. Today is December 2nd, 2008. And today's guest is Ruben Bouchart. He's a singer, songwriter, composer, etc. He met me in a studio last week in Midtown Manhattan. And we had a lovely time. There's a piano there and he sang two songs, which I recorded poorly. So I'll be using the album version of one, Come and Play, and a demo version of the first one, which hasn't been released yet, The Gull and I. So we'll be talking about the source of that song and others. So just know that when we're talking as if you just heard a live recording, you were intended to, I guess is what I should say, but it didn't work out. So it's just fine this way too. So here we go.
Almost missed him, white on white, but for that startle less than fright, that tells me something else is sensible nearby. We shared a snowy rock, the dying gull and I. Only the slow opening and closing of a yellow eye signaled more life was left in him to ebb away. He faced the sea, gun gray and white, the sky his colors. Wind ruffled the feathers along his back. He made no move to preen. One wing slipped from his side like a shawl from a shoulder. Snow fell into the sea and melted. Snow fell onto his feathers and stayed. The
So I'm here with Ruben Bouchart. Hello, welcome.
Hello, hello, hello.
So what was the name of that song? I didn't even ask you.
Oh, that song is called The Gull and I. And that song was, I wrote the music, but the lyric actually is a poem by poet John Carroll, whom, this is a friend of mine. We've been friends for a long time. Actually, he was a college professor of mine, and we've stayed friends ever since. So for like 728 years. And what we did is we wrote a series of songs. Well, he had these poems, and I put them to music. And then we brought these poems and music to Watermill, because we had this residency there.
At Watermill is in the Hamptons, right?
Yeah, it's in the Hamptons. Robert Wilson, you know him. He's the guy that did, like, Einstein on the Beach with Phil Glass and stuff like that. He set up this sort of compound in this forest, and it's this giant building that from an aerial view it's U-shaped, and one whole side of the U is living quarters, and you live there with we got a residency to go there for 2 weeks to create artwork, and they have residencies for dance and film and music and theater and blah blah blah. Actually, we might have been the first music residency, but anyway, one wing you live there, so we had eight musicians come. I had my friend Ricky Stala. He came and he cooked for us. There's a kitchen, there's like dormitories, all this stuff, and it's this like minimalist sort of museum like environment. It's very zen in a certain way too. You have to take your shoes off, and if you like drink a glass, and you have to wash the glass, dry the glass, put the glass back. Everything's very like precise. So you live on one wing, and on the other wing is this huge open loft-like space, and you can do whatever you want. And so we brought recording gear, and everybody brought their instruments, and we basically just arranged these songs that John and I made together on the spot, and then we recorded it on the fly. And so it's interesting, because I was acting as the recording engineer, and I don't really know what I'm doing. But it was good.
Yeah. So I was looking at the blog for that today, and so are there still hopes for there to be a CD, a book, and a DVD? Am I remembering that right?
Yeah, the idea is... the idea is, you know, we recorded these songs, and there's a few touch-ups we have to do before the CD is done. Like, I have to have it mixed by somebody who knows how to mix and all that kind of stuff. So there's the CD. But while we were there for the 2 weeks, Mark Robert Jackson, who's a filmmaker guy, a friend of mine, he was there also, and he was filming the entire thing. So we want to have a documentary about the whole process, and that'll be good, but that's going to take some time to put together, because films always do. And then John's poems, the ones that made it as songs, are one thing, but John has a whole lifetime of work. He's a 65-year-old man. And so we want to put together a book that contain the poems that became songs, but also all the other poems, or as many as he wants to put in there, into a book as well, and sort of kind of release them all at the same time. And then the other day I had this idea of recording John speaking some of his other poems and maybe doing like a book on tape concept or whatever like that. So there's a lot of things we want to push out, and they're all kind of falling under the umbrella of this title, Nameless and Awake, which is, John came up with the title, and it's about the idea of being present without having to, name yourself, or it's sort of like being egoless and then being in the world and noticing what life is about. And there's a poem that's called Nameless and Awake too, and a song.
So this residency, was it like a dream thing for you? I was looking at the photographs and everything, and it just seems like an amazing experience. Was it that?
Yeah, the thing is, I had done a residency there before. How I came to find out about Robert Wilson's Watermill Center was a dear friend of mine, she's a dancer, Catherine Nauman. She was dancing with this guy called Makram Hamden, and he's a choreographer, and they invited me to make the music for their residency. And so we went there, and I fell in love with the place. It's very focused. Mm-hmm. It's not a place to mess around, because there's these like ancient artifacts and this expensive art. It's like being in a museum, only you have the whole museum to yourself. Right. And you get to create there. And so it was really inspiring just to do that that piece with Makram Hamden Dance Company. And then I was like, you know what? Let me just apply for my own residency and see if I get it. And I really didn't know what I was going to do. But I came up with this concept like the night before we were leaving from that first residency. and I said... I just sort of came up with the concept, and I put John Carroll's name down. I thought, well, I'll write songs, and John could write the poems, and we'll do this thing. And I actually told John about it after the fact, like after we got the residency, and, you know, so we had to wait for the application to go in, and then we got the residency, and then we went there and brought all, you know, John came out to, it's in Watermill, New York, which is near Southampton, New York, and the musicians would come and go. They couldn't stay there the whole 2 weeks, so people would... you know, stay for 4 days at a time and go back to the city for other gigs and then come back. And it was like the hardest work I had to do. Mm-hmm. Just in the sense that not only was I managing working with the poet, but I was managing working with all the musicians, and everybody has their own lifestyle and personality style. And also I was trying to facilitate us as a group coming up with arrangements. It's the first time I've ever done that. Yeah. The previous album, I sat, or I got somebody to sit painstakingly and say and decide, this is the arrangement. They wrote it down on paper, handed it to the musicians. Here, it was like, okay, you guys, let's jam and figure out something together on the spot. Yeah. which was kind of cool because it, for two reasons, it meant that I couldn't be a control freak. I had to let go and see what kind of raw stuff would just come out. And then the second thing is raw stuff would just come out, and it was exciting to work with, and it was also immediate. So the songs have a freshness. There's not all this like waiting time and planning time. It's like, record it now. So that was really cool. But it was hard work because I would get up early in the morning, 10 a.m. That's early for me. But I would work till like, you know, and then we would stop for meals. Ricky, who was cooking for us, was like, you guys have to stop working and come eat, which was good because otherwise we would have just been like obsessed and continuous. And then my little rule was, you know, I'm going to work after dinner. And if people want to work, they can. And most people wanted to. So we would end up working until like 2 a.m. or something. Wow. And then next day, 10 a.m. and then all the way through 2 a.m. and like that, nonstop for 2 weeks, every day of the week. And so it was really intense, but it was also like the kind of work I want to be doing every day.
Yeah.
And being outside of the environment of the craziness of New York and Brooklyn and running around and subways and everyone's busy and everyone has a million things to do, once you get there, it's like this, you're extracted from society and you're in this pristine, very single-focused environment that's about making your art get it done. And 2 weeks isn't a long time to make a record with eight musicians, cello, and we had... Katie Down plays glasses, you know.
Oh, nice.
This kind of sounds. We had Matt Dario doing horn stuff. And we had a bunch of people, like bass, drum, guitar, piano. I got Yamaha to donate a piano, which was awesome. And Whole Foods donated groceries so we could eat. That was good. You know, all that stuff. And so everybody's like cramming and doing all this stuff. And it was really cool.
Well, let's talk about the album Golden Boy. So we're going to listen to Cartoon Heroes from that album. And you have anything to say about the song?
Yeah, I do. It's funny because the song, well, there's two things to say about it. One thing is I had come up with this riff. So I don't know, it's not a fantastic riff, but it was just kind of cool and I liked it. And it's basically the same thing as, let's see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, you know. And I thought it was cool and I showed it to my friend and he said, yeah, it's cool, but you know, it's so known chord progression and chord structure, and you know, it'd be really hard to write a melody to that that would be unique and different and not like bluesy, blah blah blah. And so that set me off to a challenge. I was like, oh yeah, watch me do it. So I did. And then it's so kind of charming, that little riff, and childlike and kind of goofy, that a story came to my mind that happened in childhood. And so basically the lyrics of the song are about an actual story. You know, when I was a little kid, my sister was a littler kid and my cousin was a little kid. We used to be babysat at my grandmother's house. And we, at one point we had, I think it was my cousin Peter's idea that to, you know, skip out, sneak out, hide from the babysitter. And there were ways to sneak out of the house without being noticed. Mm-hmm. And we got on public transport in San Francisco, where I'm from. We got on the Muni bus and we went all the way to Golden Gate Park. And I think we stole a rowboat in Stowe Lake, which is, you know, I think they have a lake like that in Central Park where people can row their sweethearts on a little boat. But so we stole, or we borrowed this boat and we went to the center. There's a little island in the middle of Stowe Lake in Golden Gate Park in San Francisco, and we found a turtle. And we brought the turtle all the way back home and snuck back in and decided we would try to build a pond in my grandmother, grandfather's backyard and make this whole environment. But So that story is real, but our, you know, our parents made us take the thing back. We could not keep the turtle. The turtle had to go back. You cannot steal turtles from the public park. It's against the rules. So we had to do that. But anyway, so the song is kind of about that. And I just, you know, what's it called when you exaggerate fiction? That. Magical realism, something like that.
Poetic license.
Any of those terms will be fine. That's kind of what happened. I did that, and then that's what the song is about. And it's funny because to me, the song is just, it's like a novelty song. It's one of my less serious songs, but the peoples love it.
They just love this one.
The peoples love that song.
Wow.
Well, let's listen to it.
He's all we
God.
So you just finished a video for the song Come and Play.
Yes, I did. I made the video. It's the first video I made. I actually made the video. My friend Henry Hinterland, he's an artist. I met him on MySpace. He's a German guy, but he was living in London. He came to New York, and we said, let's have coffee and meet each other live and in person. And right at the very beginning, it was like, wow, this guy's really creative, and I would love to collaborate with him. He brought his laptop and showed me the stuff that he does. He's trained as an architect, but he's also an artist, and he's done these environments and these happenings in Berlin and London and stuff. And he did this series of artworks where he found newspaper clippings where there's photos on the newspaper. And then he used like a little needle and he poked pinholes in strategic places, like in the eyes of a politician or something. I can't remember exactly, but that's the idea. And then he projected light behind the newspaper so that it would come through the holes, and it made this really cool effect. And then he took digital stills of it, and then he used something like iMovie to dovetail them and make like a slideshow between the two of them. And I thought, that is such a cool look. I would love to co-opt that look and make a music video because Come and Play, it's about a lot of things, and I don't want to get into the details of it because I think it can be interpreted in a lot of ways, and that's kind of what makes it magical. But one of the things that it is definitely about is the idea of light and what all that means to everyone. So his piece, his artwork that I just described, was in a certain way about light emanating through an image of a person. And so we got to work, and I actually had to teach myself Final Cut Pro, and we just recorded two shots of me singing, one with a black t-shirt on a black background and then one with a white t-shirt with a white background. And I just sang the song, you know, lip-synced the song through twice. And we sort of cut those bits up and intersplice them, or whatever the filmic term is. And then we also did a bunch of sort of groovy effects using still images that Henry took or I took, or, video. We just used our digital cameras. You know, it's not like, it's pretty lo-fi, but it has a cool effect. It's very like sort of magical and, maybe surrealist or psychedelic, not psychedelic. It's kind of, there's just like, it's interesting. So we made that video, and it's so fun. So now I'm an engineer. I can record stuff, and I'm now a what's called director or videographer or at least editing person, something. And so I just love the idea that we can do anything we want.
Yeah.
You know, with the technology, you know, you can make anything you want. You can make an album. You can make a movie. You can make a da-da-da.
Yeah. It's amazing. I agree. Or a podcast, as shown here.
Exactly.
So the video can be seen at your website, RubenBouchart.com.
Yeah.
And various other places. I saw it first on Facebook, I think.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. I'm on MySpace. I think I might even still be on Friendster.
You want to play the song?
Okay.
I feel like singing some Come and Play.
Sure.
All right.
Unstoppable, come and play.
can make believe for hours. Pretend the mirror's a window to another place. Come and play.
That was Come and Play by Ruben Bouchart from his album Golden Boy. You can check out the video for that at his website, rubenbouchart.com, which will be linked on the blog. Thanks again for listening, you guys. Or maybe that's thanks for the first time. And thanks especially to Ruben for taking the time to meet with me. I think this is my favorite kind of podcast to do. So if anybody is a musician and wants to do something like that, or if you have anyone in the New York City area you'd like to hear interviewed, let me know. MikeyPod@gmail.com. The blog is at MikeyPod.com. And, oh, I have a phone number, but no one calls it. So I'll tell it to you next time. Thanks for listening. Thanks again, Ruben. And support the artists. Go buy a CD. I'll put links for that, too, in the blog. All right. Thanks.